we go.
Hello.
Hey, is this John?
Yes, sir.
Hey, John, this is Jim and Jason Van Tattenhove from the Liberty Brothers. How you doing tonight, my man?
I am doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Joining us on the line this evening with the Liberty Brothers is my friend and fellow radio host, John Jacob Schmidt. John is the founder and operator of Radio Free Redoubt out there in Idaho, and he is really the voice of the American Redoubt up there in Idaho and that way. And I know he's got plenty of fans here in Montana and the Northwest. And John's a friend of mine, and his Radio Free Redoubt and Northwest Liberty News are sort of affiliates, I guess, for lack of a better term. We work closely together. John Jacob Schmidt, thanks for joining us tonight on the Liberty Brothers.
Hey, thank you so much. It's great to be with you guys. And hi, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for being out there.
Well, thank you. We appreciate all the work you do as well.
You know, John, for those listeners of ours that may not be familiar with Radio Free Redoubt or what you do over there, and can you, if you don't mind, just go over sort of a cliff notes or an introduction about yourself, what got you into the radio, a little bit of your background, and you know, as much as you care to share, just to start, if you don't mind, John. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Radio Free Redoubt's been on for about 3 years now as a podcast. It's a weekly podcast every Sunday evening, primarily as a platform to promote the American Redoubt movement. And the American Redoubt was a phrase that was coined by the author and senior editor at Survival Blog, a former military intelligence officer, James Rawls, which probably a lot of the listeners are already familiar with. But just be looking at the situation of what's going on in our country, the deterioration of it, and anticipating where we're headed, he called for conservative, patriot, Christian people in America to strategically relocate, and he recommended the American Redoubt for a number of different reasons. Social reasons, religious, geographic, tactical reasons, and I agree with him. And I really wanted this to not just be, another intriguing article that he wrote. I really think that facing what we're facing in this country in the future, I believe it has become a necessity for like-minded conservative patriots to strategically relocate to pockets of areas that are already conservative. And of course there are several around the country, but the most viable one that I believe exists is the American Redoubt. So I'd already had a fascination, a long time kind of love with your Radio Free Europe broadcasting across the lines into occupied territory to, you know, as a voice of encouragement and sharing intelligence and news and information to people in occupied territory. So I kind of took that theme on for Radio Free Redoubt, and it's just really taken off, and it's just been an amazing ride. Of course, since then, we've also started up AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which is a network of ham and non-ham communicators, that their goal, their mission, is to keep communities and regions of the states across the American Redoubt connected in case of a collapse, catastrophic type of situation. And, of course, you know, that was intended to keep the American Redoubt connected, but since its inception, it's taken off to be a nationwide network now with operators, radio operators in every state and Canada. So that kind of brings us up to today. Of course, we do a lot of stuff. We're very politically active as well, working with patriot leadership to basically prepare to defend Americanism, to make sure that we can preserve it, even if only regionally. And that's kind of that's Radio Free Redoubt in a nutshell.
So kind of for maybe people that aren't so familiar with the whole redoubt movement, it was, I believe it was proposed in 2011 by James Wesley Rawls, as you had mentioned earlier. But it's basically the idea that you want to try to live within three states of the Northwestern United States, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and that there are, you know, communities of like-minded people kind of moving there. And I've kind of seen this organically happening around the Kalispell area. It seems there's kind of the new Zion of the Liberty Movement, it seems, up there. But is that basically the gist of what the that American Redoubt is, for those that may not be familiar with it?
Well, the American Redoubt consists of the mountain states, the Rocky Mountain states of the inland Pacific Northwest. So it really does include Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and also eastern Washington and eastern Oregon. If you were to draw a line right down the ridge of the Cascade Mountains, everything east of the Cascades is politically, socially very conservative. And I know there's pockets of liberals, of course, everywhere. It's like an infectious disease. But in a historical context, when any time a empire collapses and falls, you always see a reemergence of smaller self-ruling nation states. And what determines the type of system, political system and value system, society that you have, is directly related to the majority of the demographics of the people that live in that area. This is a very proactive, ambitious, bold, proactive move, but I think it's one that we're forced to have to consider, because I think most people don't understand the magnitude of what we're facing in this country.
Well, you know, John, we've had a couple of people here on the show the last, oh, I don't know, a week or 10 days, and I've posed this question to them. I'm going to pose it to you as well, because I know you're very you can speak on a variety of topics. You know, we're seeing small towns across the country being being inundated with military armaments and large vehicles for really towns that have, oh, I don't know, maybe a million, 2 million people. These people, they're getting these giant vehicles, and their local police are getting all militaried up. What in the world's going on with all the militarization of the local police? And now we just heard a story before you came on where the FBI wants to enlist firemen and paramedics to start looking for, quote unquote, what was the word they use?
Extremists.
So what in the world's going on, John? I mean, it's almost like the police state's closing in.
Well, the FBI doesn't want to start doing that. They want to continue with that. That's something that they've been doing for a long time. And of course, one of their, I wouldn't even say partner agencies, because they're in competition with one another. The egos run high in these federal agencies. But the Department of Homeland Security as well have been doing this. And even though I wouldn't call them partners, they are doing it in concert. And what they're doing is... Just like the American Redoubt as a move, as a political, socio-political movement strategy, the reason why we're forced to do this is because there is a strategy that is being carried out by people who are in opposition of traditional Americanism. And so what we're seeing is this this continuation of a very deliberate, very calculated, and a strategic effort in preparation for the ushering in of a globalist statist system. And of course, I'm not the only one talking about this. You know, James Rawls, there's Aikman, David Aikman, I'm drawing a blank here, another strategic relocation specialist. Darn it. I hate when I do that. But anyway, there's a lot of people saying what's coming is just so serious. We need to think on a really serious grand scale. And so the micro preparation aspect of that is our agencies of like the FBI and the DHS that are, they're in the pre-stages, and this is where the indoctrination, the demonization of what they perceive as a future adversary has to take place. So, you know, we're all in favor of going after terrorists and extremists, but that also depends on who's defining what an extremist and a terrorist is. And, you know, this recent trend now where the redefinition of a potential homeland domestic terror threat includes housewives that are homeschoolers, people that speak for the Second Amendment or fly the Gadsden flag or vote for third-party candidates, those who are involved in the Tea Party, those who, you know, take their kids out of private, or they put their kids in private schools, all of these things. And of course, now the FBI's over the last couple of years have been distributing leaflets and flyers to various businesses, telling them to be on the lookout for a number of different things. Preppers, for example, are also finding themselves on these lists of persons of interest, people that are, if you see someone buying a large amounts of MREs or matches, anybody who finds themselves as a prepper, they're saying, you know, could you pass that information along? We'll investigate it to see if there's anything, you know, any criminal activity.
You mean like the see something, say something, John? Like the see something, say something campaign? Is that what you're talking
about? Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's the same system of building a nation of snitches that we saw incorporated into every oppressive regime in history, from Castro to Hitler, you know, with the SS, with the NKVD under Stalin, with the Stasi under East Germany, pretty much everywhere where there's, you know, a very systematic oppressive regime, then they count on people turning in their fellow countrymen. And now, any one of us, none of us need to be told to say something if we see something. I mean, how often do you see in the paper, if you see a suspicious van that's driving slow and trying to talk to little kids after school, anyone with common sense knows to call that in. So for them, you know, if you see criminal activity, then any good citizen is going to report that. So the reason why they're placing so much emphasis on reporting things is because they're preparing the citizens to report things that never used to be a crime or never used to be suspicious activity. And that includes, you know, normal activities that are carried out by patriotic citizens. And the other disturbing trend that you had started to allude to was the militarization of our civilian law enforcement. This is disturbing, not just because they have an MRAP. That in and of itself, there's some real dirtbags out there. And the more we reject God in this culture, the more we're going to see mass shootings. The more we're going to start seeing abductions, and we're going to start seeing crime that's going to make what our current crime trends are pale in comparison. So our police forces, they're up against the increasingly evil culture. To get a SWAT team close to a mall so they can take out an active shooter, using an MRAP to save lives and usher people out of a building like that, that's a legitimate use for an appropriate tool for that type of situation. But the problem is they're redefining the bad guys. And any good tool, I don't care if it's the internet or I don't care if it's telephones or whatever it is, can be used by evil and perverted by a tyrannous regime. So we have to be watchful of that. What's the real scary trend is what they're doing to the minds of our current serving law enforcement and our military through the indoctrination, aggressive indoctrination programs, where basically they're bringing in anti-American organizations that describe themselves as watchdogs for extremism, and they're indoctrinating our law enforcement and our military and our alphabet soup agencies.
Are you
on what a threat is?
So are you
the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Okay, I was going to ask. Are you talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center? Who are you talking about there?
Example: the Anti-Defamation League, even the ACLU. They get on their soapbox and talk about their concern for this growing right wing extremist, activity or trends, like with the Tea Party, for example. So it's the indoctrination that's taking place. It's the real scary thing, because you can, and I'll tell you what, there are patriots, there are really true God-fearing patriots in every one of these agencies, in the Border Patrol, in DHS, in the FBI, in every law enforcement agency from the smallest town all the way up to the federal levels. There really are, and there's people that are patriots in our government. The problem is that we've given them through a deceived nation, a deceived electorate. We've placed people in incredibly powerful positions that have an agenda, and their agenda is to destroy this last beacon of light in the world, and that's America, or Americanism. So it's not just about destroying America. They have to go after every. Look at the effort that the left wing. Extremist place on small town USA that has conservative values.
Yep.
How much energy they expend pushing a left wing agenda, an anti-Christian agenda, a pro-homosexual agenda, even in the smallest places. So they can't just take down America. They got to take down Americanism, every little pocket that where it exists. And if we see the trend that's taken place in every culture in the past. If we ignore that and think that doesn't apply to us, we're naive. We need to be prepared for a fight, because there is like the founding fathers said, in the end there is only one thing that will truly preserve and restore liberty, and that is downright force. And that's of course always used as the absolute last resort. But we have to understand the reality of the historical examples we have, that's our future, because we haven't fought the fight on the political level like we want to win, and the social level like we want to win. So that's what's drawing people to these conservative pockets in advance of what more and more analysts are predicting is an imminent collapse of the America that we've always known.
You know, you talked, John, about the tactics that they'll go to, and I'm reading a story on your site here. It's called "The Enemy Is Inside the American Redoubt." It's about Matt Shea. Now, Matt's a good friend of yours. I know Matt. Of course, spoke to him a few times. I met him a few times. He's not, I wouldn't say a good friend of mine, but a friend. It looks like. What I'm reading here is that he and Oath Keeper founder Stuart Rhodes were in a restaurant together, and someone overheard him and called about him being a terrorist or extremist. Can you go over that? I mean, this is the first I've heard of it. Is just now visiting your website, and we gotta have Matt on the show. We gotta have Matt on the show to clear this up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Representative Matt Shea from the state of Washington is a good friend to every patriot. Our listeners. Of course, we follow the stuff that he does and other elected officials as well. There are very few people on leading the way on the battlefield defending freedom, defending our American values and our core beliefs. And so even inside the American Redoubt, this is not necessarily, a redoubt is a safe haven. It's a refuge. It's a fallback position. It's a protective place. And that's how a lot of people that are relocating perceive the American Redoubt. And it is, by and large, is overwhelmingly conservative. But we do have a fight on our hands. The American Redoubt has its share of people from the left who cannot stand Americanism, and that they are on a mission to destroy it. The Democrat Party's already adopted the Communist Party platform, but now they're going after the Republican Party, and the Republican Party's been infiltrated by literally left-wing candidates and people in elected positions. This is also something that's very strategic. It was planned, and they are carrying out their plan. And we're just walking around picking our noses, acting like, you know, as long as you vote Republican, you know, we're going to be, you did your part. But people really aren't truly paying attention to the people that are trying to infiltrate, further infiltrate and subvert the Republican Party. And that's where this guy comes in who's opposing Representative Matt Shea in the primaries. The primaries are more important than the general elections. And for a number of reasons we've covered in the past, in past shows. But this guy's got, he's got the crosshairs on Matt Shea. He is a left-wing Republican. He is way left of center. And I truly mean that in the political sense. Politically, right-wing means less government, and left-wing means more government. And some people think that that's best for us, is for the government to be in control of more things. Philosophically, we're opposed to that. We believe that you have more liberty is more important than having free services from the government. So that makes us right wing. But what's happened is the right wing, or the Republicans, has shifted to the left of center, and they leave the conservative Republicans on the right as the extremists. And they've pegged Matt Shea and several other elected officials as right-wing extremists because they hold traditional American conservative values. And so they're doing everything they can, and they're using Saul Alinsky tactics to try to undermine people like Representative Matt Shea. What happened was they've had, I can't get into certain things. There's some stuff that's going on that we don't want to reveal at this point. Because the elections are coming up, and I want to make sure that everything that I say is strategically beneficial.
We certainly understand that.
Matt Shea. So, but anyway, there's a woman in a restaurant who just happens to be sitting there eating, and overhears Stuart Rhodes and Representative Matt Shea discuss the Bundy Ranch situation. Stuart is briefing Matt on some of the things that happened down there. And, of course, the word came up, snipers, because they were talking about the BLM having snipers up on the hill. They were talking about patrolling to make sure that that the Bundys were safe. So they bought thermal imaging night vision goggles, and you know, they were patrolling the property. And this woman goes to the county task force for counterterrorism and reports that she overheard these men mentioning snipers, night vision goggles, and other things. And she said that she's concerned that they might be planning an attack.
Well, I can tell you personally, both me and Jim were with Stuart, and we're out on patrols. We were with Stuart the entire time we were down at Bundy Ranch in the exact same vehicle as him.
Oh, yeah.
And I can absolutely tell you that the snipers they were talking about were the federal snipers. And, yeah, we went out on patrol to try to keep infiltration from happening. You know, there was a lot of things going on, but it was just basically driving around.
Yeah, and there's no defense necessary for what Stuart said or for what Matt said. I'll tell you what, it is not coincidental that this woman was sitting where she was sitting and reported the things that she reported. That was a deliberate effort, and that was not a casual encounter. That was pre-planned. And so what it did was it gave the opportunity for the local news station to go not to interview the sheriff's department, not to interview anyone else, but to run to Matt Shea's opponent and say, what are your thoughts? And of course he says, well, I just don't think that his extremist views represent the views of the people in this district, so hey, vote for me.
Yeah.
And this is all just purely a demonization campaign, and I wish I could go into more details about what's happened surrounding this whole incident, but their whole thing is just come. It's going to come unraveled. This guy didn't even register to vote until last year.
Wow.
What type of a statesman is he going to make? If he's not even involved in the political process as a voter. There's so many things. The guy only served like 2 years of a 4-year enlistment. Matt Shea, talking about extremists, Matt Shea is a decorated former officer who fought terrorists overseas, serving our military honorably as an officer in the United States military. So this little punk's going to come along and try to cut his knees out from underneath him. It's going to be really interesting to watch because he cannot hold a candle to a type of a patriot like Matt Shea is. But what we did was we put the word out, what's happening, basically this story, we reproduced it, sent it, or not reproduced it, we basically sent it out to everyone, and they flooded the news agency with overwhelming support for Matt Shea. Now, all of a sudden, we don't hear any follow-up reports. We hear nothing. They completely went silent. They stand by the story. They won't pull it, but they're not pursuing it any further. We're not hearing anything more about old extremist Matt Shea anymore.
Well, how important do you think it's going to be going forward? I mean, we see time and time again that, you know, when we do get good guys in, when we have, you know, good police officers, constitutional sheriffs like, Sheriff Denny Pyman or Sheriff Christopher out of Delaware, where they take away their funding. They do everything they can to take away their arrest powers. You know, when we have a good person in elected office, they do their best to really smear their character. How important is it going to be for the Liberty Movement to really kind of do this counterintelligence to try to mitigate that damage? How can we stop them from doing that?
Well, a couple things. First of all, it's an information war, and we need to exploit every single opportunity that we can because they are, and we cannot let any of these go to waste. For example, to make your case about the situation that we're in and the glimpse of what we have to come in the future, right now we're seeing the largest purging of our military that our country has ever seen. Any type of leadership that shows any type of patriotism, to stand by their oath, to oppose a globalist system, anything like that, they're purging our military's officers. Secondly, there's a sheriff in Florida who refused to carry out an unconstitutional law. It was a gun control law. He says, this is unconstitutional, and I cannot violate my oath and enforce this law. And so the governor had him physically removed from office. Now, the sheriff, and of course the NRA and tons of organizations, even the Oath Keepers, got involved, and they got behind the sheriff, and he went to court, and he won. He was reinstated, and the courts, they ruled in his favor. But what this is a glimpse of our future. The mindset of the people that are willing accomplices, their collaborators in this globalist system that are getting into positions of power, like as a governor, for example, where they're willing to physically remove an elected position, elected official, constitutionally elected position as a sheriff because he won't toe the line. We need to tell people, we need to point to that, and then we need to also point to historical examples so we can show where this has led in the past in other regimes, because people don't understand that What they're doing, the people, even the conservatives in this country, think that this globalist agenda, this anti-American agenda that we're enduring right now, is only a temporary trend, and they're waiting for it to pass. But it's not going to pass, and we need to remind people of that. It's only going to get worse.
No, I agree. I agree, John. And, you know... What do you think? You have, I know, friends in the military, and I won't go into your background, but you have friends in the military, and you know the order's going to come down eventually. I think you know, and anybody that's in the military kind of has an idea. It's a matter of when is the order comes down to confiscate our firearms or perpetrate some other unconstitutional act such as that. What is your thoughts and your feelings about? And you may have probably inside knowledge. With the people you talk to, what do you think they're going to do when faced with that decision? Do you think generally the people in the military and the police are going to fall on the side of the people, or are they going to fall on the side of the feds?
Well, okay. There are studies out there that are disturbing that show in surveys military service members who are willing to carry out those orders and or disarm or fire on American citizens. But there are also studies that show clearly there's a high number of them who, when asked, say, absolutely not, it would not follow that order. Now, I believe in the rule of thirds, just like the founding of our country. I believe that a third of them will follow orders blindly. And I believe that a third of them will say, you know what, this is bull crap. And a third of them, they're going to, their loyalties are going to be dictated by a number of different factors. So they're going to kind of swim back and forth. Now, one thing that is almost imminent now at this point is a financial collapse. And on top of that, now with our borders blown wide open, we're faced with epidemics of diseases that are just going to blow people's minds. And of course, our government's going to act completely surprised and blown away and overwhelmed and still be scrambling for a solution for the problem they created. But what's going to happen is, and this is what we've seen historically, when a soldier's starving, or when his family is starving, or a police officer is starving, or your countrymen, next door neighbor, when they're enticing them with antibiotics or with medicines with antibodies, whatever it is, for an outbreak, when people are starving and people can have extra food rations for turning someone in, if you know of somebody who might be an extremist, that can buy a lot of loyalty. And so there's a book written by David Aikman called When the Almond Tree Blossoms. I strongly recommend it. He's an analyst. He has a lot to do. He's done a lot of stuff with Russian and American foreign affairs and things like that. But he wrote a fictional book. He basically took his assessment and evaluation of what he believes America's next civil war would look like, and he wrapped it in a novel, in a fictional story. But what you see there is, or what you will see, is a portion of our military who will follow their oath, and they are patriots, and then you'll find a portion who won't. The other ones are going to kind of go to whichever side they think is going to win or whichever side benefits them. So those will be divided. Darn it. I hate when I do that.
Well, we're talking about
the... I lost my train of thought. Okay,
no, it happens to me frequently.
What's interesting in that is that his analysis is that there would be the conservative, what he called the constitutionalists versus the people's movement. And the constitutionalists gravitated toward the mountainous regions, the Appalachians, which incidentally we refer to as the Appalachian Redoubt, the Rocky Mountains, which we call the American Redoubt, there are a lot of conservative pockets around the United States where people are uprooting and they're strategically relocating to the Adirondacks in upstate New York because it is so conservative. It's like night and day. It's like eastern Washington and western Washington states. So people are doing that ahead of time because they, you know, you don't have to have read this book or you don't have to have listened to Radio Free Redoubt to say in your gut something isn't right. And we're, our values and our way of life are being overrun here. Honey, let's move. And that's what they're doing. And sometimes because they're prompted by messages like Radio Free Redoubt, and sometimes they move here strategically because they know they need to. It's just to get out of Dodge. And then they realize that there's actually a movement that they're part of. But our military, it's going to be the same way. It's going to be the same way in law enforcement and among the civilian community. And I really believe they're going to leverage people's hunger, people's fear, access to medicines that are going to be scarce, and all of these things are going to be used to leverage against the people for loyalty. And we need to be also prepared for that and also to be as self-reliant as possible, not preppers. We need to be self-reliant patriots. Not isolationist preppers, because we've got to have a proactive role in the rebuilding if we want to have any say on this, what kind of a system emerges on the other side of it.
Well, John, I know that what you're saying definitely rings true in my life. I sold my business last year. I moved my entire family up here to Montana from Colorado. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, I needed to be up here if I was going to get up here, that I needed to do it soon, and kind of realize there was a movement after I did it.
Yes.
My question would be, you know, now that we are kind of up here in this concentrated area, you know, and we've been seeing a lot of, you know, military vehicles and armored vehicles and whatnot up in the Flathead area, you know, drilling, and we're not sure what they're doing up there, but there seems to be, you know, a lot of the military activity happening up here, and it just makes me wonder, do you think when we have such concentrated areas of like-minded people that it becomes a target almost? I mean, granted, I would rather have that community to have my back, so to say, but do you think that's an issue that you know, needs to be looked at?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you're going to be a target, and we need to be planning for that. Look, the Jews were targets in World War II, and they were spread all over the place. Right, and they were hunted down because their neighbors were rewarded for turning them in. They were scattered everywhere. Okay, but now they formed the original redoubt, Israel. And Israel, do you think that they're a target now? You better believe it. Now, as opposed to being spread out all over the world, where they were hunted down individually, now their strength, because they're consolidated into one area. Did that make them a target? Absolutely. But they were targets before that. Now they have a chance. And so this is what's happening, is the conservative family living in California that realize that their children's minds are being stolen. And so they say, you know what? We're going to homeschool our kids. Good move for you. Good on you. Then the state comes in and says, well, we've got a problem here. Okay, if you want to homeschool, you have to be state-certified teacher, and you have to adopt this state-approved curriculum, which, by the way, is full of homosexual propaganda and everything that violates
common,
your moral
common core. Common core.
Yeah, common core. You name it. Anti-capitalism, globalism. Anti-Americanism, where all of our founding fathers, they weren't heroes, they were slaveholders. And so this is the kind of stuff that you must teach your children if you want to homeschool. Okay, so what's happening is there's some people saying, well, you know, I'm not going to just give up. I'm not a coward. I'm going to stand and fight because this is my home. Well, you are getting overrun. And you know what? You're temporary. They're going to snuff you out. Then they got your kids. Because they're just waiting for you to die off. Because your kids and your grandkids will belong to this system because we're going to indoctrinate them. And so this isn't just about, like I mentioned in last week's show, this isn't about standing your ground and fighting to the death, you know, because you grew up in Orange County and you're going to fight for it. There's a time when you have to realize you're overrun And if you want to, if you want to preserve your way of life, not for you, but for your kids and for their kids and for generations to come, you've got to get them out of that hostile environment. And so, you know, this—I don't know. Did I answer your question, or did I address what
no,
you're saying?
No, no.
Oh, no, you're talking about the military.
No, okay. Absolutely. You actually answered quite earlier when I was just asking, you know, what do we have to do when they do come after us as a target? And I think it really just relies in, you know, you mentioned it earlier, we've got to kind of shift from this secret squirrel type prepper model to a community. And I think we are seeing that. I think we're seeing, I do a show called The Patriot Prepper as well. And, you know, really we're seeing that evolution happen now in the minds of what I would call preppers, that they're really kind of changing from, you know, an isolationist to having to build that, realizing we have to build community. We can't do it on our own.
That's right. Now, a lot of preppers, they quote the founding fathers and everything else. But see, the founding fathers were very community, national oriented. They fought and built a republic. But see, they were self-reliant. The point is, a system will emerge. And I always remind people of this. You know, we imagine Teotihuacan as if we're going to be wandering around in rags for 20 years, like in the movies. But the fact is, you know, in that vacuum, some system will rise up. There will always be a system. And so we want to have a say in what system that is. And the best way that you can do that is if you're a self-reliant patriot. So you're not starving and your children aren't starving. You have to go turn, you know, your guns and everything and at the entranceway to a relief center with your family so you can get a bowl of soup and then trade your birthright. The objective is for you to be self-reliant so you can focus on that system and stand up against this globalist system that's going to be trying to assert itself in your backyard. And go ahead.
You know, John Stuart Rhodes pretty much highlighted what you're saying, the way that he put it, which I had to agree with him. He says, understand, if something happens and there's collapse and the government, whoever's in the government at that point, sends people out to sends their convoys or troops out to communities. He goes, if your community is already set up, if your community has its own food, its own security, and has everything in place, then the people that show up to quote unquote help you, he goes, you know, they're going to be faced at least with a moral dilemma. They're going to go, why do we need to roll into this town? These guys have already got everything they need. They're already set up. They've got everything in place. That's, I don't think people understand that the ultimate goal is control. And the more that you can be self-sustaining, the less you're going to have to rely on someone else. And therefore, the less control you're going to have to give up to someone that may not have your best interest in mind.
Yeah, let me hit on that real quick. Okay, you have to understand when the federal government rolls in to help you, they are not there to help you. They're there to take control. Okay, they're using a collapse, a disaster, whatever it is, to exert control. When they come into like Hurricane Katrina or any other type of thing, they cause more problems and cost more money than if they didn't show up. The non-government organizations are the ones that are actually more effective and more efficient than our government. But see, I agree with a lot of things. As Stuart Rhodes and I, we've sat down, we've had breakfast, we've talked, we've spent a lot of time together on the phone. We've talked about these things, but I want to caution people to think that, or to rethink, if everybody's self-sufficient and doesn't need the government, when they roll in, you can say, you're not needed here, move along. I think that's naive. Because even in Hurricane Katrina, we saw people saying, look, I don't need any help, we're good. And they said, well, step aside, or we're going to kick your door in, because we're here to help you. And we're here to take your guns, too. And they were forcing people to relocate who didn't want to, who didn't need to, and they were self-reliant. So this is where the patriot side comes in. You've got to band together with other patriots as a community. And this is what we're building, is committees and assemblies that are reemerging. You're going to hear about this in Kalispell, because we're going to be in Kalispell as well. But working with pastors, working with business leaders, working with elected officials and people in the community, influential people in the community. So who's going to rise up and say, we don't need you? Every leader in our communities are already conditioned to cry out for help. Most of them are already taking funds from the federal government for various different things, whether it's roads, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's whatever it is. And so they're preconditioned to beg for and accept help from the outside. Now, that's the leadership, despite the fact that the people, that the citizens themselves may be self-reliant. So what we're trying to do is get our leadership on the same page, because they're the people who wield the power to say, move along. It's hard for us as prepared citizens to say, move along, you're not needed here, when your own city council and county commissioners are saying, no, we need this help. Just do what they say, because they're here to help us. You don't have those people's support. And on top of that, you got the Department of Homeland Security that are building clergy response teams to teach the pastors to go to the congregations and tell them, just comply with the nice man in the black mask, because they're here to help us, because, you know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to, you know, do what they say. And they're misled, and they're being manipulated. So we really, really have to focus on the leadership in these communities. And that's why we're working so diligently on building committees of correspondence, like our founding fathers did. That's where they were able to communicate with each other, share strategies, share victories, where they could articulate their grievances that were made up of a cross-section of their whole community. They were clergy, they were businessmen, they were the farmers, they were the elected officials. Those are the men who forged this country, and they did it through committees of correspondence. And Paul Revere wrote under the authority of the Committee of Safety in that area. And so these are historical bodies of a civil body politic that are legitimate. And they need to be the ones to step up to say to the Homeland Security guys, move along, we don't need you anymore. We're missing a key component if we don't do that.
John, you know Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and I know you know his work. How important is it? You talked about clergy. I mean, you know, I've heard Pastor Baldwin preach numerous times, and I can't say I disagree with him when I hear him say, we really need to restore this country. We really need the pastors to stand up in behind the pulpits and start being black regiment type pastors and start preaching about the Constitution. How important is the clergy in this renaissance? Or I shouldn't say renaissance. We have to collapse first, but this rebuilding. Even now, can we still hold it off if the clergy step up? Can we hold it off?
It is the critical component. If you're going to boil it down to what is the most important fundamental thing that we need. And that is it right there. It's the clergy. I'll tell you what, the reason why we're in this situation right now, and the reason why it's going to continue to deteriorate, is because we've rejected God. And it doesn't matter what your religious views are. That's a fact. That's just truth. And so the one solution that would fix all of this, we refuse. So we just have to expect the consequences to come. Now, we're also praying that his remnant will be protected, and that's what we're calling for, a gathering of them. But the clergy component to this is so crucial. If we had everything in place and neglected that, we will fail. I promise you that. So we have to, now this is also the biggest hue and cry that I get from listeners, is that my pastor is asleep and I want to freak out because he's not paying attention to anything that's going on in this world. And they're neglecting this. They think we, A, shouldn't be involved in politics, or B, if we if we even talk about this, we're living in fear, which isn't of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, the patriots are beside themselves right now because the clergy is asleep, and that's something that we're working to overcome, because there are those that are A, awake, and they're vastly outnumbered, like Pastor Chuck Baldwin, like Pastor Barry Bird up at Marble, like John Beal from By What Standard Ministries, Chaplain Nick, who happens to be actually in Illinois. These guys are God-fearing patriots that are fighting the good fight, but they're in an uphill battle. Pastor Sharam Hadian is another one. And they're bringing the messages out there to the people, but not enough. So you do have those. And then the other component, or the other part of that, is that pastors are waking up slowly, not at a pace that I would like to see, but they are waking up. I've seen clergy do a 180 in their whole view and approach toward what we're faced with. And the closer we get, the less you are able to deny it. And so they are waking up. So what our job is, or not our job, what the clergy's job is, to be there waiting for them, ready for them, to mentor them, because these guys, they are so out of tune with the caliber of men that form this country. Don't exist today. The education level, their intellect, their walk with God, all of the components that made our founding fathers that we'd love to quote, they are so rare today that we have almost no hope. The only hope that we have is to turn back to God. And then he'll get all the glory for it. No man will. And I really believe that.
Wow. Those are just incredible words. And so one last question. You talked about these committees and kind of how community needed to organize to kind of have the best chances as far as weathering some of these storms that are coming. So if someone is in a community maybe that doesn't have any of these committees set up already, where can they start learning about it? Are there any websites that, you know, we're gonna be out there that people can get reference information? Yep. I mean, where can they get information?
Okay, I would say right now, well, you could write me, you can email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And what I would do is I would forward that to Pastor Hadian. And he is in Washington State. He is really spearheading the effort. They've gotten several committees and assemblies off the ground and operational. And so what he has is a program where he gives a presentation, and it's a multiple step process to bring these people up to a level where they can be effective. What's happening with this, and of course I'm also working with Representative Matt Shea, working with Pastor Barry Bird, working with several people in key leadership and some other representatives and legislators that really see the necessity for this. The problem is, right now, it's a presentation, and as good as it is, it's really isolated. You have to be there. So what I'm trying to do is work with these guys so we can develop a duplicatable, what's that a right word, a reproducible system for somebody that says, I'm on board, what do I do next? And right now, we're at the point where we're going, stand by. And so that's not a good thing, because people are hungry for this, the timing is right, and it is the only viable solution that we really have to stand a chance. And so what we're doing right now is working on this. It's going to be over the next several weeks. In August, Pastor Hadian will be doing two presentations in the Spokane Valley, right next to the Idaho border. And a lot of people will be in attendance for that. He's also going to be holding a special meeting just for clergy. I would say, to answer your question, have them email me. I will get that email, and we'll work with these people on an individual basis until we can get this expanded to the point where it's like a reproducible system that does not require one individual to go and get these committees stood up. These guys all did it on their own at the beginning of our country, but they did share ideas, and that's where the committees of correspondence really, really shined, because they were able to, through this, they were able to, you know, expand this. And Pastor Chuck Baldwin has also said he's very, very supportive, and we're going to be contacting, you know, him and, of course, the Black Robe Regiment pastors, the Patriot clergy, ask for their assistance in this as well, of course, along with other leaders, business leaders. But look, we're facing an economic collapse, so it only makes sense that we also tap into people, and we have people in the banking industry that deal with economics, that are deal with business and trade, because those are all essential parts of the rebuilding. And all of these people need to come together, and you know, under these assemblies, under various different committees, under these assemblies, so that we can start planning the rebuilding right now. Because the people, because the fascists on the left are planning the rebuilding, and we better, because they're going to step forward with the solution. And if we don't have an alternative, then the masses are going to be looking for somebody with answers. We better have answers, because the Founding Fathers aren't here. This is on us.
John, I couldn't agree with you more. John, I couldn't agree with you more. And I know that I know you have another appointment coming up, and you have to leave us here shortly. Before you go, first of all, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great time. I can't believe the time has flown by so fast, really. Before you go, any last words you'd like to say? And please give out any websites, YouTube, Facebook. I know. When do you you broadcast on Sunday evening? Just give out any information like that if you can to my listeners before you go.
Yeah, and thank you guys for doing your part in the fight for Americanism. I really appreciate it. We have a weekly podcast every Sunday evening at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, and that's Redoubt, R-E-D-O-U-B as in Bravo, T.com. We also have a nationwide network of communicators. If you are interested in communications, or maybe you're already a ham operator or something like that, you want to contribute, you can go to amron.com. That's AMRRON.com. We have Facebook pages for both of those. And also, all of our past previous podcasts are uploaded to our Podbean site. You can just click to that through the website to look at those archived audio files and go back to shoot all the way to the beginning. For the last 3 years, they're all up there for you to download or listen to on the website.
Well, John, I tell you, you do great work, man, and I enjoy listening to your radio program when I get a chance. You know how it goes, man. When you're in the when you're in the fight, you don't get a chance to do as much as you'd like, but you do sure. What you can. But I mean, I tell you, I really appreciate what you're doing out there, and we'll have to talk, you know, after the show or at another time, because I know definitely I talked to Chuck, and yeah, we definitely want to get hooked up with that with your program and get the Black Regiment pastors involved, because I think it's tremendous. There is a lot of work to do. Well, thanks again, John. I tell you, appreciate you so much, and you know, I hope we can have you on again. You could talk about a variety of topics, and I hope we can have you on again as this collapse, I think, continues in slow motion. You know, we can discuss this and other things. Jason, do you want to say anything before we go?
Just want to say it was an honor to get to meet you and talk with you a little bit. Definitely get me fired up, and I'll be listening to your radio show as well.
Right on. Thank you guys for everything that you're doing. God bless you guys, and we'll definitely be in touch.
All right, John. Thanks so much, man. Take care, bro.